Hello, it's November 17th, and you're listening to Speaking of History, and this is podcast number 8. My name is Eric Langhorst, and I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and this podcast talks about how I use technology in my classroom. It's a place to share ideas, get some feedback from you as listeners, and just talk about using tech in the classroom. It's been about 3 weeks since my last podcast. I'm going to kind of update on a couple things that I've seen on the internet, and then also how things have been going in my classroom. First of all, just kind of a request, if anybody would like to email me, you can email me at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. And I did receive some feedback from podcast number 7. Had a listener from Ireland respond, and also a listener from Australia, and then also an anonymous poster on the comment section. So, if you happen to be listening to this, if you'd like to drop me a line, I'd really be curious just to know where people are listening to Speaking of History. It could be a very simple email saying, hey, I'm in New York, or hey, I'm in Utah, or whatever. If you could do that, I would really appreciate that. Then I kind of have an idea of where people are listening to this. Seems like I'm getting quite a few downloads, direct downloads, off of the server that I use. So I think people are listening, but if you want to drop me a quick line, that would be great, and then I have some idea of who's out there listening to the podcast. Just a couple things wanted to go over on the show notes. I've put some links up, so you can go to the show notes and look up some of the things I'm talking about today. First of all is the National Council for the Social Studies Conference. I'm very excited. I live in Liberty, Missouri, which is about 15 minutes north of downtown Kansas City, and the National Social Studies Conference is coming to Kansas City in November. It's on November 17th through the 20th, and I submitted a proposal last winter, to present at that conference, and I was accepted. So I will be presenting on the Friday of the conference, and I'm presenting on a project that we call the Liberty Minutes Project. For the last 3 years, a colleague of mine, Lance Huebner, and myself have been doing a project where students create short video documentaries on local history subjects, and we'll be presenting that on the Friday of the conference. So if anybody listening to this happens to be attending the conference, you can drop by and watch the session or say hello. Or if you're planning on being at the conference, if you want to drop me an email and let me know what you're attending or what you're excited about seeing, maybe I can even give you some tips on where to go out for eat, where to go out in the evening to eat, or some of the local places that you might find interesting while you're in town. I'd be more than happy to help anybody out. Also, a very interesting website that I found on several other blogs in the last couple weeks. Duke University did a podcast symposium just a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure many of you are aware of the Duke experiment last year, where they gave every student on campus an iPod, and kind of hearing some mixed results on whether that was a success or not. And they did a symposium where they got feedback from professors and from people around the country that talked about using iPods in education. And they do have some really great webcasts up. So even though we weren't able to attend, if you were like myself and happen to be halfway around the continent, or you're busy doing other things, we can still see the sessions by viewing a podcast. They have some podcasts up as QuickTime movies. And if you scroll down, they have even a menu based on the certain sessions, and there's one on podcasting in the classroom that I watched the other day that was pretty interesting. So some really good stuff over at the Duke University Podcast Symposium site, and that link is on the show notes. Also, some very interesting news coming out over the last month about the 100-hour laptop project out of MIT Media Lab. MIT is currently trying to work on a mass-produced laptop that would cost less than $100. They've had some prototype pictures come out over the last couple weeks. Very interesting how they're planning to do the concept of making it be a very unique laptop. Some of the features include hand crank, so that if they can't power it using a electrical outlet, you could hand crank it if you're completely isolated, and it would run on that type of power. And just the way they're doing the screen and they're bringing down the cost, there's a great audio link if you want to listen to the person that's kind of in charge of the project speak about it. I believe the podcast is about 45 minutes long. I listened to it a couple weeks ago, and it's very interesting. A lot of insight on why they're creating the features they are for the laptop, and they do talk quite a bit on the idea that the laptop is being created right now with students outside the United States in mind. They're not necessarily saying that students within the United States would not benefit from these laptops, but they're looking at selling huge quantities, for example, millions of these, to maybe the education department of Brazil or a country in Africa. I believe I saw something just the other day about there being some interest from the state of Massachusetts. I'm not from the East Coast, so I'm not fully aware of what's happening in Massachusetts, but I think they're trying to generate some of the interest that Maine had in their one-on-one initiative, and I think the $100 laptop idea was brought up with some of the Massachusetts lawmakers. So if anybody has any more input on that or information on that, I would be really interested in what Massachusetts is thinking with the $100 laptop project. Also today, I'd like to talk a little bit about an educational podcast that I've been listening to a lot lately. Each podcast, I'm going to try and kind of feature one other podcast that I'm listening to. And there's a great one that's called Ed Tech Talk by World Bridges. And it's a great, trying to think of the words to describe this, it's really just a great meeting place for some of the best minds in educational podcasting. Jeff Lebo, someone that I've listened to for a long time, is one of the people that kind of organizes the discussion every week. Will Richardson is often on discussions there. Some really, really great stuff. Podcasts typically are about 45 minutes long or an hour long, and really just listening to three or four people talk about many different times of different kinds of technology in the classroom. You know, Moodle, they talk about Web 2.0, they talk about podcasting, open source. It's a great thing. It's like you're sitting at the faculty table with these people that are really, I think, on the cutting edge of technology education, and you're basically part of the discussion. You can call in and ask questions on Skype. They're always asking for people to give them feedback. It's just a great, great show to listen to. So I would ask you to look in the show notes for the link to Ed Tech Talk. And again, it's produced by World Bridges. Last week we had parent-teacher conferences. We have a fall conference and a spring conference. And conferences have been very interesting the last couple of years because they've really tried to incorporate technology as a communication tool between myself and parents. I do a website that I try and put copies of notes up on, study guides. I update it every day with what's happening in class that day. And then I also have a link that goes to what's happening in class this week. So each week on Monday, I put up a schedule of lesson plans for the entire week and what homework assignments we have for each day. And I really try to do a lot with communication using both the website and then email as well. I do an email newsletter every week that talks to parents about just in general what's happening in the classroom, but also things like, hey, there's a test coming up, or there's an assignment coming up that you might want to know about. But I've tried to include this last year things outside of the classroom that students can also interact with. For example, in Liberty, in the community in which I live, there is a great organization that does history walks on one Saturday every month, where the public's invited to attend. They walk around a neighborhood, talk about some of the historic buildings, talk about some of the stories associated with that neighborhood. It's just a great way to get to know a little bit more about your community. So I try and promote things like that in my newsletter and tell parents about that. And they're very, very appreciative of knowing about things like that that are going on. This year I've also added a new feature called This Week in Television. And I can't remember how many times I've had students come up and say, hey, Mr. Langhorst, did you see that special on the Civil War that was on the History Channel last night? I watched it for an hour and it was just amazing. And my first thought is always, dang, I wish I would have known that was on TV. And then I would have watched it. And then I also think, wow, I wish I could have, you know, taped that or, you know, been able to see a little bit of it so I can know if I want to purchase it for the classroom for the rest of my students. So this year what I'm trying to do a little bit in my newsletter is look ahead at both PBS, the Discovery Channel, the History Channel, look and see what's coming up for the next week that might correspond with our curriculum, and then include a couple offerings in my newsletter, both when it's going to be on, time, date, little description of the show that usually comes right off of the webpage. And I was amazed at conferences this last week how many parents came up and said, hey, that was a great suggestion, or I try and watch all the TV programs that you recommend, and I try and watch as many as I can, but I don't even get my VCR set for all of them, or I don't get a chance to watch all of them. But parents were overwhelmingly excited about the fact that they knew what was happening in their child's classroom, and that there were outside opportunities for them to kind of expand. And so that's kind of been a new thing this year in my newsletter. But the newsletter in general is just a way for me to touch base with them. And every year for the last 3 or 4 years, I've done this. I think the newsletter I started 4 years ago. And every year, it seems like I get so much positive feedback from parents. And for me as a teacher, it really doesn't take that much time. The most time-consuming part of the entire weekly email is getting the email addresses in the first place. I have 145 students right now, and I believe I have 120 email addresses. So there are a couple students that don't have access to email yet, or parents that don't have access to email yet, and then a couple that have either given me the wrong address or haven't given me their email address yet. But anytime I can type something up and in a matter of a minute or two, basically get it to 120 parents, that's just a great teaching tool. So I'd encourage anybody that's not currently doing that to do that. I found in the last couple of years that it saves so much time on later trying to explain a situation to parents. For example, my parents pretty much understand what's happening in class. If we have an assignment, they know about the assignment as it's being assigned to the student. They know about the testing material. They know about the options that I have available on the classroom website as far as study guides and notes, links. There's a great link. In fact, I'm going to try and add it to the show notes. It's an eighth grade grade level expectation in Missouri that they know the 50 states before they get done with eighth grade. And so we're testing all of our students and making sure that they know those. Students that are having trouble with that are working with a review game that we found online, and it's just an amazing review game. There's like 10 different levels, and students can do everything from seeing the state and typing in the name to taking the state and then dragging and dropping it over the exact location that it belongs, turning the state so that it's in the exact correct location when they drop it. It gives them a score based on time and accuracy. I'll include the link on my show notes when I go back later and make a correction, but it is an amazing site for kids of any grade level. I've had grade school kids that have found it and really enjoy it. I've had parents that have tried it and to see what their score is and how well they know the 50 states. So things like that, including a link on my newsletter saying, hey, if your student's having trouble learning the 50 states, here's a great interactive game for them to work on. And the parents see that at home. They can link to it right away, and the kids are often using it. Also this year, and I don't know why I hadn't thought of this before, but we have wireless access in our building, and our conferences are actually held inside the cafeteria. So all the teachers are inside the cafeteria in desks with tables, and the parents come up one by one and talk to the teachers at the table. Well, the last couple of years, I'd had a printout of my classroom webpage, and you know, if parents weren't aware of the classroom webpage, I would show them the piece of paper and say, hey, this is what it looks like today. And then this year I thought, well, that's kind of crazy to be printing it out and bringing it to my desk. Since we have wireless access, why don't I just bring my laptop and then have the website right there? And I did that this fall, and it was great. Some parents that weren't aware of the website, I could show them links and show them examples of study guides that I had up. I could also show them one of the newer things I've done this year, and that's the audio notes or the study cast. Some of you may have heard in an earlier show that we did a study cast, and I got a lot of positive feedback from parents at conferences this year on the study cast. And again, I did it for the test we had 2 weeks ago, and I got about 100 downloads on it. So if you figure I have 140 students and it's getting downloaded 100 times total, probably by the students themselves, I would say probably at least half have downloaded the StudyCast. One parent was telling me they listen to it at home as they go through the review sheet. One parent told me that their kid downloads it to an iPod and they listen to it on the bus. So, you know, if it's helping, say, 10 students, I think that it's worthwhile, but it sounds like it's helping quite a bit more than that, especially the students that rely a lot on audio content for their learning style. It's really helping them out a lot. So I'm going to continue to do the StudyCast, and got quite a bit of positive feedback from parents on that. So parent-teacher conferences, that went really well, and a lot of great feedback from parents, a lot different than it was 5-6 years ago. I started my first web page as a classroom web page 6 years ago, and I think it may have been viewed by one or two parents. And now, since internet is so available, almost all my parents are aware that we have the web page. It's updated every day so they can rely on it. They know that the information there is going to be timely, and they can use it, and they can check and see what's coming up for homework or what assignments are going on. So it's been a very positive addition to my classroom over the last 4 or 5 years. The last thing I'd like to talk about today is what I'm kind of loosely calling the 3 C's of podcasting, and kind of almost like if you could imagine steps of stairs. The 3 C's that I'm kind of thinking about right now are 1, collaboration, 2, content, and 3, creating. And right now I'm mostly at level 1 and level 2. I'm hoping to get a little bit more to level 3. So the first way that I started to use podcasting this last summer is by using it for a collaboration tool, pretty much what I'm using right now. Started listening to podcasts by people like David Warlick, Jeff Lebo, Bud the Teacher, people like that, and really just hearing about what other teachers were doing in their own classroom. And then slowly, as I began to get a little bit more confident that I could do a podcast of my own, then I began sharing my own ideas of what's happening in my classroom. So I think the first level for me, at least, was the collaboration aspect, hearing what other teachers are doing and then sharing the ideas that I'm doing in my classroom with them. Gradually, as the school year has begun this year, I'm working a little bit more on content. I just mentioned the study guide or StudyCast. So I'm trying to do a little bit with the content, making it available to the students. I've tried to do a couple recordings of notes that I've done a couple times in class as I'm lecturing using the PowerPoint and we're discussing things in class. I've tried to do that with the content. So I think that's kind of the second level for me where I'm making content of my own available for the students to use. The next level, the one that I hope to get to soon, is more of a creation level. And when I mean creation, I'm talking about the students creating things with their podcast. And that's where I really encourage you, if you haven't seen Bob Sprinkle's Room 208, look on my list of links on the right-hand side and you'll see that link. Go and see what he's doing with his third and fourth graders in Maine. I really think that that is the ultimate level of using any technologies when you get students creating things that's then made available to the rest of the world. And Bob Sprinkle's doing an amazing job with his third and fourth graders of creating that content and then getting it out for everybody to listen to. And he's had some really good ideas on his Bit by Bit podcast, which is for teachers, over the last couple weeks on how he's using podcasting in the classroom. So I'm hoping to get to that level. I'm still working on a couple projects in my head, kind of trying to walk through them and see what they'd look like. I am trying to work with a local politician on having him do a podcast for students, talking about how local government or state government affects them. And what I'd like to do is kind of start that podcast where I'm asking the questions and I'm talking to the local state representative, and then gradually kind of turn that over to the students and see if maybe I can get one or two students to be the quote-unquote host of the show and ask some of the questions and basically run the format of the show. So that's kind of how I'm hoping to possibly get into the creation mode with my students. Right now in the unit we're working on, we're doing some video content that I hope to put on the web, but haven't really found a niche yet for creating with the iRivers, creating with the podcast. So that's kind of my ramblings for the week. Got a lot of really interesting stuff coming up. It's hard to believe that October is halfway through. I'm getting into kind of the busy part of my year. I also teach a graduate class online for Park University in Parkville, Missouri. And that's going to be starting here on the 24th of October. It's a class on technology in the classroom. It's a really fun class to teach. You get a lot of people that are eager to use new technologies in the classroom coming in from all different levels. And so that starts on the 24th. And then I'm also the 8th grade basketball coach here at South Valley Junior High. And tryouts for that sport begin on the 31st. So I'm hoping to do some more podcasts on a regular basis. But I'm getting into my very busy part of the year right before we wrap up for Christmas break. So again, if you're listening to this anywhere in the world, if you could email me at speakingofhistory@gmail.com, I'd really appreciate that. Take about 2 minutes out of your day. And all I'm curious about is where you're listening from. I won't bombard you with spam or anything like that. Just let me know where you're listening from. I'd be really curious to know. I was really surprised last time to find an email from Ireland and an email from Australia. Just tell me where you're listening from, and I would really be curious about that. I hope that everybody has a great week. If you have any comments, please comment on the blog page, or go ahead and just email me directly. If you want to find the blog page, it's at speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. So for today, have a great day and have a great week. And I'll talk to you later. Bye.